Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that.
We need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, young world, it's your favorite Ethiopian Sue Solo.
This is the kid, Ferrari Sim.
Hey, yo, what up, podcasters? It's the one and only OCT from the Baller Alert Show. That's right, it's all produced by me.
And we own
fire! From the latest in entertainment news, baller mail, comment creeping,
celebrity guest hosts, and more.
We got nothing but big vibes on the Baller Alert Show podcast.
Big vibes with me, Ferrari Simmons.
Me, Sue Solo.
And me, OCT.
Check us out on the Baller Alert Show podcast today.
Available on the iHeartRadio app,
on Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for Couples Therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy. Couples Therapy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
I am Naomi.
And we are a real-life couple. A real-life couple of comedians. And on Couples Therapy, we bring the best sets from our live show, where we have comics who are close to sets together about the relationship, right to your ears. Naomi, what is up? How you feeling? Where are you emotionally? This is the second episode we're recording on this day, so my brain is scrambled.
I'm okay. I'm low energy, even though I did have half a caffeine pill before we left the house, Jesse Spano style, to see if I can get my energy up. But it didn't really do it.
Low E.
I'm low E, but I'm all right, I think. I've been a little in my head.
How are you? How are you, listeners? It's mid-August. It's mid-August. Check it and see. Climate change is destroying our trees.
Andy's always keeping it fun and light and funky. Where are you at? Where are you
I
at?
Told you my brain's scrambled.
You're a little scrambled.
I'm just climbing that tree, trying to get up to the top of the tippy top so I can look out over over the expanse.
Okay, the expanse.
Coming to season 4, coming to Amazon Prime.
Yes, one of your joints. Andy, I thought like we could talk about, you know, you did have a formative moment recently, you know, something that I think not only changed your life, but also brought us closer together. I mean, I
would you say it was an experience that bridged cultures?
It was a cross-cultural experience. And I just thought, like, did you want to talk about it? I think it's important to share with the listeners when we learn and grow and change.
Yeah. And maybe if you are white, you may not get this exactly. But I used a washcloth for the first time.
To wash your
a
body.
A washcloth for the first time.
To wash your actual body.
To wash my actual body.
Not as a face towel, which I've heard insanity.
Wait, sorry, what is that about?
Well, for instance, your parents have washcloths at their home,
mm-hmm.
but they don't use it for washing the bodies. They use it as like a towel for one's face.
Oh, to dry one's face after washing one's face.
Yes.
It's a post, not after a shower, but like say you are at night washing your face.
Exactly. You would take a petit towel.
Mm-hmm.
But you,
towel.
Please, walk us through the process, how this happened for you. I was shocked. I was shocked to hear it.
We'll talk about this a little bit more later on, but Naomi and I went to Comic-Con in San Diego, and I'm still stuck in, like, the announcer voice that I did at the top of the show. We went to Comic-Con, and quite an experience, but we were in the hotel room, and usually they provide soap, and the only soap that was provided was liquid.
A body wash, if you will.
A body wash.
Yes, yes, yes.
First of all, the shower was very strange. It was in the middle of the room, basically.
Yeah.
And you had to pull a curtain to separate the shower. It was like...
It was a glass box, but obviously being glass, if you were, you know, sharing a room with your goddamn mama, you wouldn't want him to see it.
If you've seen Legends of Tomorrow, it's like the glass prison cell that they used to put prisoners in.
Yep.
In that show. Or just like badly misbehaving good guys.
Oh, okay. On Legends of Tomorrow, mm-hmm. badly misbehaving good guys. I get it.
Yeah, so for some reason, maybe a spirit has possessed them and they have to stash them somewhere.
Ugh, there's nothing I love more than a possession episode. and so there was just body wash for you.
Yeah. Also, like, it doesn't have to be your mother. I didn't want you to wake up and, like, turn over and see me showering.
Yeah. That's true.
Like, literally next to the bed.
Right.
There's, like, you know, space for you to walk, and then there's the shower.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I get in there and I'm like, well, I guess we're doing this.
because normally you would take a bar and run it all over your body.
Yeah.
Ugh. You smell great and are clean. Like, I get it. But the idea of just like taking a bar and rubbing it all over the body.
Yeah. What is the problem? I never thought about, like, I just know that, like, in black culture, monolithic black culture,
yeah,
all black
monolith.
People
yeah.
do the same thing. But I'm saying, like, in, you know, in many black households, it's washcloths.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that? Like, why did that develop? Why
I
are
have
like whiteys
no idea.
Why are Caucasians into like soap on skin?
I have no idea, and obviously it wasn't something I knew until I started to have sleepovers at Caucasian households. You know what I mean? Because I didn't know it was just a black thing either. And then every now and then I will meet a white who's grown up with washcloths. You know. Caitlin Durante, co-host of the Bechdel cast, she told me she washes with washcloths. And I was like, Caitlin, but you're white. And she was like, people always say that to me. So she also understands that she's an outlier in her culture. I don't know how it started, but it also was drilled in, like, that is what it is to be clean. The same way you would, like, scrub a dish with a sponge, you scrub your body with a cloth. And then when you're done, you rinse it out. You give it a rinse. You let it dry thoroughly. You're changing washcloths once a week. You know what I mean? You're keeping it fresh. I'm getting that exfoliating moment. I am actually getting that dirt off.
But that's
of
what
me.
I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. That's what I'm going to say, which is that I understood in that moment. I'm like, oh, right. My skin feels exfoliated.
You felt buttery soft.
Yeah.
And now imagine if you finished all that, you topped it off with a cocoa butter. Hello. You would be melting in my arms.
Would you, and I don't know how you quantify love, but would you love me more if I did put on cocoa butter? If I did?
I will say that one of the things I was very taken with by you. Taken with.
Hey, you're really trying to figure out the grammar there.
I really have trouble.
One of the moments of infatuation.
Okay, sure. Was that you are soft skin. Like, for someone who doesn't apply lotions, creams, salves, and butters.
On my face, I do.
But not the rest of you. You have a soft hand. You don't really have a rough elbow. You don't have a crusty feet.
You love an elbow.
I love a soft elbow. And you are you're like a naturally moisturized person, even though you don't apply lotions. So you can like kind of get away with it. But every now and then, I'll be like, babe, just because you're white don't mean you can't be ashy. So every now and then you can use a little bit. But for the most part, you're moist.
Naturally moist. TM. Trademark. That's on my case.
It's true. It should be. But did you know what to do with the washcloth in the shower?
Naomi, it's a washcloth, not the inside of a computer.
You were able to figure out the lathering situation.
Yeah, I think I knew how to put the liquid soap on the washcloth.
Give it a good zhuzh.
And then rub it on myself.
I was so proud of you. It was funny because you did afterwards. I was like, was I gone or something? Where like, you know, you were already like dressed and you were like, Naomi, I used a washcloth today. Like it was an announcement. And it really was something that I was impressed. Now, do you think you're going to be incorporating washcloths into your daily shower routine?
It's a lot of bother. I'll be honest. What? There's a lot of moving parts. It may not be the inside of a computer, but it's definitely like a bunch of watch gears all turning in on each other. Look, with a bar of soap, you just grab the soap, you just soap up. You're done. Yeah. A washcloth is an extra piece of material in the process. Naomi, my routine is already overstuffed. My routine is already, it's like the turducken of routines.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of moisturizers. There's a conditioner. You got to look. In Los Angeles, you can't just shampoo your hair. The water here is terrible. You got to condition every day.
Even if it wasn't Los Angeles, hair moisture is paramount. You know what I mean? Without hair moisture, I'm nothing, quite personally. So I understand what you're saying. I mean, I would love, you know, it would be great. His and hers washcloths in the bathroom. You know what I mean? It would really feel like a multicultural household, but I understand. I understand.
No, that condenses it. It's no longer multicultural. It's now cultural. Unicultural.
Speaking of multicultural, do you want to get into these sets?
I would love to.
Before we get into the sets, you guys, as always, I know I tell them, do they want to get in the sets? And then I like pull back.
No, it's the you guys. Your switch to get into like promoting mode is you guys. It's like when you're like trying to impersonate someone, there's like a keyword.
Right.
To like, like with Reagan, jelly beans. Or that was a terrible Reagan, by the way. Mommy, like whatever it is, there's like one word that's like always the key word. Like if you want to do an Australian accent, it's like soy or whatever. I'm not really doing
Andy's
the accent.
Accent work is hilarious. It's never good, but always hilarious. But real quick, speaking of things that are always hilarious, we got some live shows coming up. You know, the next one, babies, is Saturday, September 7th. 8 p.m. at the Virgil here in Los Angeles, and we are putting together a dope, dope lineup. Andy, you got some names off the top of the dome?
Yeah, I believe John Gabris. John. Old friend.
Yes.
We're on his podcast at some point.
High and Mighty. Very funny guy. Hilarious improviser.
I believe he's going to be on, I think, let's just label this tentative, but I believe Will Miles and Langston Kerman.
We love it. Oh, both writers on the Comedy Central joint South Side, which is very funny. If you're not watching that, you need to be. And we're putting together a real great show. And of course, if you want tickets, go to couplestherapypod.com and click on See Us Live.
And while you're there, if you would so like to, you can also sign up for our Patreon. Now, for $5 a month, you get two extra episodes where Naomi and I deep dive into our hearts and bring the bullion to you of what we find.
You guys, are you ready for these sets?
Wait. One more thing. And finally, every once in a while, we do episodes where we answer advice questions. We love to hear from you, the listener. And if you would like to call in and ask your advice questions, the number is 323-524-7839. You can also find that on the website. We can do lots of stuff. Sign up for our newsletter, which we send out once or twice a year at most.
Oh, it just sounds like we do that? That's cool.
Every once in a while, if we're doing a show outside of Los Angeles, just to let you know that it's happening. But that's about it. But yes, Naomi, this first set, both sets today, actually come to you from our July show at the Virgil, which I will have to say was just spectacular from beginning to end.
Truly a good time. We were on the heels of earthquakes. It was July 4th weekend. We were feeling independent. And this first set is the best. This is Danielle Perez and Atsuko Okatsuka. You've seen Danielle on Jimmy Kimmel Live, on BuzzFeed, on Comedy Central Digital. Atsuko has been named a comedian to watch by Vulture and Time Out LA and has written for The Eric Andre Show and Soft Focus with Jenna Friedman, both on Adult Swim. And she hosts the monthly show and podcast, Let's Go Atsuko! A real fun time. Get into these two, ladies.
Roll it!
Oh my goodness, keep it going for your hosts, everybody.
Andy and Naomi.
We
Look at that functional relationship. I was like, I came from a party and
Danielle's drunk. I have to be sober for the both of us. And we said, let's try to do a discreet entrance. And there was, the curtain was already open.
Already open, already sneaking out, already letting you know what was up.
Guess who's next? We didn't even get our proper intros because we were just like, boom, boom, boom.
We're
just
here. Like,
we are here. Hi, how are you?
Otsko's got enough like feet for the both of us. She's got those wide pants.
Wow.
Okay. Always giving us a look.
Rub it in. And you are serving summer. I love
summer. This is a bathing suit. Thank you.
So good.
I understand that podcasting is a visual format.
That's
so
right.
I wanted
That's
to
right.
bring it tonight.
There's peaches on her top for the listeners out there.
Yeah. I like that you think an orange is a peach.
It's orange.
Otsko, you're a terrible Japanese person.
Honestly, I've been cooped up a lot. Like, all my life, I was always about, like, the indoors. And I was always cooped up. Lived in a garage for 7 years. Me and Danielle have both lived in LA for a long time. I've been here 20 years. You were like born and raised,
but you were in a garage.
I lived in a garage for seven years.
And I was out. I was like, let me be out. As you can see, my tits out, you know, out.
Danielle went to Montessori school. I was public school, you know, all throughout my life.
I know. So how do we become friends? We became friends through comedy. We're both stand-ups.
That's right. We became friends through comedy.
Per Facebook, I officially became friends with you in April of 2015.
That's right. 2015. Yeah. We kept getting put on the same shows. I don't know if it was like a hot year where they were like, we got one Asian. We got one Latina. And it was always the two of us
together. We started on Instagram just posting like Rush Hour 5. You know what I mean? Rush Hour
That's
6.
Right. That's right. Just rolling through LA. The two of us.
Just letting them know that we were out and about being seen.
And most of our friendship has been like kind of a working relationship.
I know, but I feel like I've gotten to know you close.
We've gone close. I do her self-tapes. She listens to my
I
sets.
Listen to her run her hour before she records it for posterity. So.
Yeah. And I would read the other characters that she needed me to read for her self-tape.
And Otsko would do a way better job reading the other characters than I would be reading the person I was auditioning for. So
some of the scripts out there are bad. I mean, it's really bad. Just like, I am big and ugly and I love myself. I was like, they're making you say this. Just want to rip it up. And anyhow, so what have we learned so far?
That was for HBO, and FYI, when I got there, they asked the fucking casting director, closed the door and was like, I'm so sorry you came out all this way. The episode's about hikers.
That's
it's
right.
It's for a hiker and you're in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can hike.
Yeah. And then this bitch said, how?
And I was like, you just get mountain bike tires? Duh. Adaptive equipment, look it up online. It happens a lot.
Also, the weird thing about that was like they gave you the audition knowing it was supposed to be a girl who's a hiker. And your headshot has your wheelchair in it. Your headshot, I was like, someone needs to get fired.
Someone at HBO someone, should
the writer,
be fired.
Because of the shitty script. I'm fat and I'm ugly and I love myself. So the writer needs to, that's dumb. That's just dumb.
It was amazing. I've never learned a script so hard because it was so absurd.
It was absurd.
I was like, Otsko, I am fat. And I know what people say about me. And I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. And my,
I love me.
My line before that as the other girl was like, do you know what people say about you? Do you even know what they say behind your back? I'm like, I'm supposed to be like the skinny bitch that, you know what I mean, is like trying to tell her truth. Anyhow, so what have we learned? The industry sucks.
The industry does suck, but we've learned a lot of truths. Like, it's wild. We are good friends. You consider you my good friend, but it's like, we both survived the earthquake, but we were not together.
We were not together.
How did that happen?
We were not together. Where were you when the earthquake hit yesterday?
I was in my car. I was on my way to my show, running late, per usual. And I was in my car, and it was just a shake, rattle, and roll. I was like, It was like a big sway. I tweeted two times, okay?
During the sway.
I tweeted two times. I did an Instagram video, okay?
That's right.
That's how long that was. And then I was like...
And you waited it out like a true Angelino.
I did. I was like, okay, nothing's falling. I can just go inside and do my set. I think right. we're fine.
Right. Guess where I was at when the earthquake hit?
Where, babe?
I just got on stage at the Ice House Comedy Club. I just got on stage, but I got on stage dancing and
Stop it. She twerked. Okay, yes. Give it up. Osco Kotsko.
So I was about to do that, but I got on stage and to a screaming audience. Woo! You know what it feels like to think that they're screaming for your dancing only to realize the earth has shown you up and they were like, no, it's an earthquake. And I was like, what? And I was like, I'm not equipped for this. Like 200 people.
Mother Nature was like, hold my beer, bitch.
You know what the Ice House, you know what the Ice House staff did? Because I was like house manager, they all ran out. Everybody that worked at the comedy club had run out and just left the audience and me on stage. And I was like, okay, so I think we're supposed to find cover. And still shaking. But of course it was over fast, you know. But my inkling was to like just make jokes. I was like, I still need validation. Was like
the world is ending, but love me, you know, most.
It was great. It worked out. But like, so the earthquake before that, the Thursday one, right? I was in bed. Me and my husband were in bed. And I swear to God, when it happened, the earthquake, my husband rolled over and asked me if I was masturbating. He was like, are you masturbating? And I was like, and wow. I promise to God, I really was about to. But
truly what a clean thought that your husband had. Because my first thought when that first earthquake hit was like, are rent prices in LA low now?
No, yeah, you think about the future.
Have
yeah.
they dropped?
You're always like, how do I make money out of this situation? And I was just like, well, I mean, I was flattered. I was like, you think I'm powerful enough for 6.6 magnitude? I was like, no, get out of bed. This is an emergency. Wow. You know, what I'm saying is, A, at first someone thought I was masturbating. B, I thought the crowd was screaming for me when I got on stage. I am up to here with the earth showing me up. You know what I mean? I am up to here stealing my thunder. You know?
Always trying to keep up with Otsko. Otsko's always just putting on a show, whether she wants to or not.
I'm always trying to keep up with you. Okay, so we've never been in an emergency situation together.
Clearly.
Okay,
not.
Like no Mother Nature, nothing. Thank God.
But we did go to Atlanta for a comedy festival together. And I was like, Otsko, be my roommate.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so gracious. You know, like you are so hospitable, always so welcoming. You're like, you need a place to stay. You can stay with me.
Stay with me. And then, like, you know, I know two other comics I invited as well. And then, like, yeah. Everyone else at the festival that I've, like, invited to, like, come party.
Every night. I am a married woman, you know? I am married. And I was like, oh, it's just me and Danielle rooming together in Atlanta. We'll probably do some shows, go to bed.
No. She was real. She really had pure thoughts about this. She's like, oh, Danielle's on top of it. She's got the room. And I did get the room. And I got there before everyone else. And so I got there and I realized, oh no, they cannot deliver alcohol to us. And it is very far away. So I texted her, emergency.
Right upon,
you must pick up alcohol on your way to the hotel. We cannot get it delivered to us. It is a state law. This is an emergency.
Which I respect, but I literally just landed like in Atlanta at the airport. And I was like, oh, well, I should check up on Danielle. She's like, emergency, need alcohol, hard liquor, bring me bottles. I was like, what the fuck is going on? So I was like, okay. And then so I got in my Lyft, my Uber. You know, I think Atlanta only has Uber, you know.
It's very different.
I came out of
Los
the liquor
Angeles.
Store looking like I was going to, like, throw a wedding. You know what I mean? And then...
Because, you know, thank you. Thank you for knowing me and respecting the fact that I requested handles specifically.
That's right. Broad daylight, 2 p.m., you know?
Yes.
And I show up at the hotel. You know what I mean? I show up at the hotel. I get into the room and you are sitting there with a male comedian on the bed. Just minding our business.
Not even talking.
Completely clothed. But I was like, what's going on here? You did not tell me there was going to be another roommate.
I know. But also, what did it smell like, Otsko?
It smelled just hit me. The smell of sex. It just broad daylight. They're just sitting there like, I was like, are you talking? Are you staring at each other? You're both waiting for me? You know what I mean? And it just hit me. And it's just like, what is, you know, and you were like, you told me after that you had sex?
I mean, whatever. He left. He doesn't drink. I didn't want him to drink our alcohol. I just wanted him to fucking put his dick in my vagina. And
I know, but why right before you knew your friend was going to come?
I didn't know what time you were landing.
Would you ever do that? Would you ever have sex with someone you just met, like knowing your friend was going to come over right
after? I met him the night before. That's so rude of you.
Oh, it was the night. And then he slept over?
No, he slept somewhere else.
And he came back and y'all just sat and stared at the wall? What are you talking about? You did it again.
We did it again.
And then I didn't know which bed you did it on. And
that's why I told you to go to the other bed.
And that's when another comedian came in. I was like, fuck, is this like an orgy situation? And then another comedian comes in. And Danielle's like, oh, yeah, they're staying with us too. I was like, fuck, Danielle, you are just like testing me. Yeah.
But I'm really glad we're still friends.
No, we're still friends.
We are. Atlanta was really, it was a beautiful, beautiful time in our lives.
That's right.
Atsuko, you know, very good at twerking. I, in a wheelchair, you know, I struggle a little bit with that. And
you move.
But
we move.
We were out on the dance
floor.
You move.
When we go on the dance floor, it's just dudes like doing tricks over
the
wheelchair.
They want to. They really want to show what they're about.
They
want to display their ability.
No, it's crazy the things that, like, talk about boundaries. None. Just
none.
Like,
absolutely.
Just like dancing. I saw like one guy getting on your wheel.
Show the
like,
trick.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to. Because your wheelchair
broke. She doesn't
want
to disrespect me.
Well, no question. Just like, how
my wheelchair did break in Atlanta.
I know, because someone was like, oh, I'm going to parkour off of your wheelchair. Because that's what you look like you wanted. And then, hey, do you want to fuck?
I know, just existing in a wheelchair, you wanted that, right,
people lose their minds.
You want me to
minds.
Fucking jump off your fucking wheels, bitch?
I think when people
want me
drink...
Do tricks?
No, I was like, that is not how you, like, spit game. It's like, you want to fuck, girl? I was like, what the fuck? That's rude. A, rude. And
Number
B,
one.
You just broke her only transportation.
Yeah, my
around.
Only mode of getting around... This southern state and city.
Why do you think that happens? Like, I've never seen such a thing. Why?
Because it's always, number one, it's men.
Yeah.
And they want to, like, flex that they can, like, do something. You know, it's like, I think it's the same instinct
Use
that makes
words.
Them see a stop sign. And they, like, walk up to it and jump and hit it. And they're like, I did that shit.
That's true, where it's just like,
I'm bad. A fuck.
You know? No, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Do you actually? Do you?
Well, it's kind of like. I mean, when I used to go to dance clubs, it's like the equivalent, like a guy coming up and just kind of grinding behind you, right? That's how it was.
Atsuko, what do you do when people try to grind up behind you? Well, do you kick them? Because you're married.
No, this was a long time ago. I don't even know what that feels like anymore. But like right after high school, I don't like going dancing clubbing because it is like a lot. It's really crowded. Yeah. And I like choreographed dances because I'm really, I do.
Atsuko wants to be the star of the show. She likes to be in control.
If we can't break out into a choreographed dance, like, uniform, I don't want to be there. You know what I mean? I don't like a dance club where you just, like, repeatedly grind.
We're such a yin and yang. You're like, I want structure. And I'm like, who cares?
I even make Ryan, my husband, do choreographed dances where we, like, match and stuff. And then we do, like, a one and two, three and four. And, like, recently he was like, I don't want to do this with you anymore. I hate it. Because every time you make us do dances, you always want to make us look like we're sisters. And so, but.
Well, keep it going for my sister, Atsuko.
Oh my God. Wait, was that the time? Did we get a light?
That's our time. We got the light, baby.
Oh my God. I totally
You're
didn't see
sister.
It.
You're my sister.
I'm so sorry. My You're sister. My sister, too.
My Where was sister.
What did we learn? I hope you learned a lot.
I hope you learned that I need to loosen up, you know, just do choreo
no,
now.
You are loose. You are loose. People.
Tighten up. I need to tighten up.
Ask before you parkour off of people's shit. There's walls for that. And write better scripts.
better script. Right.
Thank you so much. Sorry. Sorry about running the light.
Hey guys, it's Bobby Bones. I host the Bobby Bones Show, and I'm pretty much always sleepy because I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. A couple hours later, I get all my friends together, and we get into a room, and we do a radio show. We share our lives, we tell our stories, we try to find as much good in the world as we possibly can, and we look through the news of the day that you'll care about. Also, your favorite country artists are always stopping by to hang out and share their lives and music too. So wake up with a bunch of my friends on Big 104.7 in Pittsburgh or wherever the road takes you on the iHeartRadio app.
And we are back.
What
a time to be alive.
Really, truly, is it a time to be alive?
I mean, what a time to be alive is just almost like a statement. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be as optimistic as some may think. You could just be like, what a time to be alive.
Oh, yeah. It could be. It's like, huh, wow.
We're here.
This is definitely a time.
This is where we are.
And we are alive. So it is factually correct. It is a time to be alive.
I am nothing if not factually correct.
Mm.
You know, and that's important.
That's on your wrapper. Mine says naturally moist, TM.
Yeah.
Yours says factually correct, TM.
Andy, you want to talk a little bit more about our time at San Diego Comics Convention International?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dear listeners, Andy here doing the ad read again, and today we're talking about MeUndies. As the male half of couples therapy, I was asked to do this one because we're talking about boxers, which, and I hope I'm not breaking any confidences, Naomi does not wear. Now, if you're a podcast listener like me, you've heard plenty of ads for MeUndies, and frankly, I had always thought it's underwear. How special can it be? And then I tried them, and friends, it is like wearing magic. It is like wearing a dream. It is so soft, there is nothing earthly I can compare it to. I am embarrassed. Absolutely embarrassed to say I'm middle-aged and just finding this out, but the material your underwear is made out of really does make a difference. I won't say where I usually get my boxers from, but for comparison, MeUndies are like wearing a cloud covered in angel's feathers, and the other ones I wear are like wearing a bear trap smothered in puke. MeUndies got style for everyone, from all black classics to fun expressive prints in sizes extra small to 4XL. And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that actually care for their workers. Also, I gotta point this out, there is a particular technology that the folks at MeUndies would like me to discuss. Now, you know Naomi is sex negative and I am sex neutral, so I didn't want to have to say what this technology is, so I asked friend of the show, friend in real life, Mort Burke, to say the phrase. So, okay, here it goes. For any listeners with penises and testicles, I can say medical words. You might be interested in MeUndies' sophisticated
contoured pouch and ball caddy.
What's that again, Mort? They're incredibly comfortable?
Contoured pouch and ball caddy.
Wonderful. Thanks, buddy. Okay, soft underwear comes in all packages at MeUndies. So to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Can we take a minute and talk about Skims? Now, you know I'm a recent Skims convert, having tried their underwear in the last few months, and I am now living lifted, supported, changed. So I decided to keep trying new stuff. And let me tell you, Skims basics and foundations are where it's at. Yes, I recently got the Soft Smoothing Seamless t-shirt. And y'all, it is so comfortable. It's been the perfect layer for me. I'm rocking it under a cardigan or a sweater when I want to keep it fitted and fabulous and not look all bulky. I mean, y'all know I'm back to work. Hashtag blessings. And I'm definitely that girl who is always cold in the office. Okay, I need my layers, but I'm still trying to look put together. And the Soft Smoothing Seamless shirt is helping me get it right.
And I also got the boyfriend t-shirt in heather gray, and it is so friggin' soft and comfortable, and it's giving casual but intentional when I wear it with a pair of jeans. I'm feeling very good in it. So if you want to give these and other basics a try, shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small through 4X. Thank you for the range, Skims. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Again, that's skims.com. Go check out everything they've got and the new t-shirt shop.
Yeah, I do, because I think this is the thing. I think going into that, because I am a comic book fan.
Yeah.
I'm an OG X-Men fan.
Yes, as you guys know if you listen to the podcast, Andy loves an X-Men ref.
I do want to write Nightcrawler at some point. Marvel, if you're listening. Marvel in general.
Marvel, can you hear me?
C.B. Sobolski, is that his name?
Why would I know? Yeah, ask me again.
Jonathan Hickman. When you're done, be like, you know who I want to write Nightcrawler, knew who I want to do work on X-Men next?
The Andy. Guy who's always talking about it on his podcast.
Jonathan Hickman. He's always...
No, you.
Oh,
that's
I'm
what already... they're saying about you. Oh, my God, Andy, you're working my nerve. Now, I mean, I expected going into Comic-Con, like, I was excited. I like anything that's kind of random and immersing myself in a world I don't know anything about. I have no problem being like, I'm new here. Can you tell me? So, like, I really wanted to see it. Obviously, I had seen it on TV and heard about it and, you know, seen, like...
pictures from it.
Right. So, I was like, oh, okay, I know this is going to be... So, I was, like, kind of excited. I thought you would be more excited. Because,
right. That's what I was trying to... That's what I was prefacing. Like, you... because I am a big fan of comic books, you thought that I would be like, oh, my God, Naomi, do you see this? They have a copy of X-Men 200 with the Trial of Magneto.
Exactly. I also, like, I literally thought, I was like, oh, Andy's going to bring, like, an empty bag just for all the merch he's going to buy. Because I assume Comic-Con is, like, where you get, like, special stuff and, you know, limited editions or just for Comic-Con, we bought this. But there was really just a lot of Funko Pops.
But this is the thing. When I got there, I didn't realize I had gotten, my friend Adam is a comic colorist.
Yeah.
You might know him from Nailbiter. You might know him from, I think he's coloring TMNT at the moment.
Ooh.
But he took me to WonderCon last year, and I was just like, oh, this is just a trade show. This is just like, it's a bunch of stalls. It's in a massive room,
mm-hmm.
but it's a bunch of stalls where just people just sell you stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, is that what cons are? Is that what conventions are? It's just a bunch of people trying to sell you things. And it felt, you know, look, I'm a socialist, so.
Yes, we know.
So, like, commodifying things, especially art, makes me feel physically ill. I'm very uneasy around commodifying things. And when I was there, I was just like, oh, it's like, especially like when you see like an artist or a writer you like we saw Ed Brubaker at the image area of San Diego Comic-Con. And I'm like, I don't want to go. First of all, I don't want to meet my heroes like this. I'm going to meet them as peers.
Yeah. You don't want to meet them as a fan.
There's a little bit of an ego involved in this thing where I'm like,
yeah.
No, I'm not going to meet Art Adams here and right. ask him like to draw me something. I'm going to meet him when I'm writing Nightcrawler and he's drawing the cover of it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So there's like this kind of like, there's ego that's part of it. But there's also like, we went and... I won't name him, but there's an artist that Adam and I liked when we walked around. We were walking around San Diego Comic-Con, and Adam asked him to sign something, and it was like $5 to sign the thing. And the artist, like, he looked so bored, and he's there to make money. Like,
yeah,
this is a thing
yeah.
for, like I could see. I'm like, oh, there are artists and writers come here and to sign things, or, like, comic book companies come here to sell things to make a lot of money for the year.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
But isn't that good for them? I'm like, if you're an artist and you're out here hustling or normally like by yourself at home drawing or coloring or writing, and you get to have a weekend where like everyone's into you.
Yeah.
You get to have one weekend bored. Where you're popular and social, which is the dream.
The one artist that I saw looked very bored. Like, the idea, I got a feeling from everything, and maybe this is just my own personal biases, but, like, it felt Because everyone was there to just make their money, and I don't begrudge them that at all.
Yeah, that's
the thing. I'm not saying like, no, it's pure. You can't put money. You can't sell your stuff for money. That's not what I was trying to say by that. But it felt like that's the reason they were there, and it was a weird kind of San Diego Comic-Con felt like this weird combination of corporate cynicism and earnest fan cult.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part to me that felt really strange, to see those things butt against each other. To see like people excited about like the possibility of mutants in the MCU, and then like cynical. There's at some point in that chain of like fans, and I'm sure the writers of all these things are fans of the things they're writing. Stuff like that. Somewhere is like just like an investor who's like looking at their bank account and being like, when can I buy my private island on the back of Wolverine's claws?
But there's also something about it where I was like very happy for everybody at Comic-Con, like everybody being able to come together and be like, I like all my quote unquote weird or quote unquote fringe, you know, whatever these different things. I mean, some of it, of course, is like it's so mainstream. But then there were other things where it was like I can kind of let my freak flag fly.
That part's awesome.
I was like, I was very into it. I feel like Comic-Con is a place where people be fucking. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I'm going to Comic-Con this weekend, about to buy me an Airbnb, and I'm going to be getting mine.
It's band camp.
Yes. And I was like, yes to this whole, like, band camp. Like, there was a horniness in the air. Whether that be for actual, like, a human touch or just, like, for
a picture of Agent Coulson.
Exactly. Like, it was a general thirstiness, a horniness that was allowed, unbridled, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, there were the thirst was palpable.
And I was like, but I was like kind of into it. But I think I also realized too, as much as I like stuff like that, I really don't like crowds. I don't like when I can't move freely. So it was almost hard to take in everything because it is so pressed and packed with bodies. And so I was like, okay, is there a way to like do Comic-Con? Like, if only I could just show up there at like 6 a.m. And just from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., I can walk around, take my time, see what everything is. And then other humans can show up.
Yeah. By the way, the part that I did like was the earnest fan cult.
Yeah.
Right? People who there.
I can't get over you saying cult. Keep going.
Thanks, Bo and Matt. But like, no, the people who are like so into something, I'm going to cosplay, like I'm going to dress up like that. Like that's the stuff where I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like you genuinely love, you know, whatever.
I know. I'm like, I didn't even know who half people were
Cyclops.
Dressed as. I just remember we saw like a sexy Pennywise and I was like, that's dedication. But right. That is the cool part. But it was
Femi-wise. I don't know. I was really trying to stretch.
It's okay. Your brain scrambled.
I was reaching for that one. But yeah, and also like I can't believe I couldn't think of any. Glob Herman has that. There's your.
What's that?
It's like a new X-Men character.
Glob Herman.
I think Grant Morrison created him. He's a big dude made of wax paraffin.
Oh Jesus. Okay, I think we're back at the drawing board. Like when your character's name is Glob, it's like. Take another bath.
I think he made his own name. Anyway, the point is like that's the part that like excites me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that stuff or that I think is cool. It's when it gets muddied by the kind of like corporate interests that are probably always there at the beginning, right?
So would you prefer if Comic-Con like took place on like a public park? Everyone just like puts a quarter in a bin to get in. And then it's like a barter system for whatever you want.
Put a quarter in a bin and you're going to get in.
Yes. And someone's playing that on a banjo at the entrance.
And nobody here better sin.
There it is. Now it's religious. Uh-huh.
Mind the Pope or you're a dope.
You want to do it one more time? You got one more in you?
Be a rabbi. Don't be a crab guy. Yes. Smile.
Stupid, stupid. Stupid. But you have fun, and that's what matters.
Yeah. I think that thirstiness is what did get to me eventually. Like people, like I wasn't joking when I referenced Agent Coulson. I forget who the actor's name is, but he was like sitting at, I guess, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was having some kind of like little thing in the big room, mm-hmm. in the main room where everyone had their booth set up. And people were mobbing him.
It was like a huge, like, we were like, what is this giant mass of people?
To take a picture from, like, I would say 50 to 100 feet away.
Well, right. It wasn't even necessary. I mean, I'm sure there was a way for you to sign up and, I mean, line up and take an actual
line
picture.
Line up and sign up. Or sign up and line up.
Sign up to line up. But this wasn't what it was. At least what we saw were, like, literally four deep of people with their phones up just trying to get that, like, overhead shot. So everyone's just raising their arms higher and higher to get over whoever's in front of them so they can get a picture of Azen Coulson, who's looking down at a sheet of paper signing something for someone.
What are you doing with that picture? You putting that on Instagram? You shouldn't. I don't want to scroll and then see a blurry picture of Agent Coulson from 100 feet away.
High
get
def.
That out of my timeline.
High def Coulson only.
Get that shit out of my timeline.
It was super intense. I thought I was going to buy stuff. You know, you guys, I went in there looking for my anime items. Okay. I did walk around. I was like, do they have anything from my favorite shows? It was just like nothing.
We went to many different booths looking for an Orin High School Host Club t-shirt.
Yeah, but that show was so
old.
Psyche
K t-shirt.
I was like, literally, like, I should have shown up at Comic-Con with my petition and been like, everyone sign here if you would like seasons 2 and 3 of The Disastrous Life of Psyche K dubbed in English with the original voice actors from season 1. That's important. You have to specify. You want the original voices from season 1.
Listeners, I say right now, start that petition.
Right. You know, of everything going on in the world, you know, I mean, it's just best for me to put my energy into where I can affect real change, which is dubbing an anime show on Netflix.
And while you're at it, add to the petition that Naomi will voice a new character.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh my God, I would love it. I would love it. Someone who's just like trying to make Psyche their friend, even though Psyche hates everything. I'm into his energy.
See,
you have to watch it.
Naomi, I feel like you have really embraced your nerdy side. I don't know if it's through me or just like getting older and accepting who you are as a person.
I think it's a bit of both. I definitely think through you, I've kind of remembered stuff that I used to like. And then also just been like, oh yeah, I don't have to be afraid to like this. I would love to go back to Comic-Con. Everyone at Comic-Con was very nice and they laughed at my jokes. I was like, okay, I live here now. I was like, I don't need to go back to reality. So, you know, I get where they were at, but, you know, I think, you know, if nothing else, it is the place where you use a washcloth for the first time. That's what matters most.
And for that will always be the biggest positive coming out of Comic-Con.
Definitely.
Was that it brought us culturally together.
You guys, we got one more set for you after this quick break.
I'm Jensen Karp, and I'm a comedy writer and diehard sports fan. And I'm terribly missing the athletes and sports I love. So I'm checking in on them with a podcast called The No Sports Report with Jensen Karp. Your favorite athletes, commentators, and legends from the sports world are revealing what they're doing now that the sport they love is suddenly gone and they're stuck on their couch just like the rest of us. Are they staying in shape? Are their kids heckling them as they attempt to homeschool? Did they almost burn down the house trying to make bread? Are they sleeping in their jerseys at night like I do? Oh, just me? Okay. Listen to The No Sports Report now and subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
And we're back with another lovely set.
Ooh, this one was a fun one from some longtime lovers.
Yeah, and someone we're all a longtime fan of, Janet Varney.
Yes, this next set is Janet Varney and Brandon Reynolds. Brandon is a writer and Janet's an actor and improviser you've seen on shows like You're the Worst and Stand Against Evil. And she hosts the podcast, The JV Club, on Maximum Fun. So, you know, it's going to be good.
Hope you enjoy it. Roll it.
Hi. That is decidedly less sexy than Craig and Carla's intro music.
Yeah, yeah, well, they're married. And we are not married.
That's true. And in fact, I found out only today that we were, I think, guys, correct us if we're wrong, but you sort of had the listing of what each couple's relationship was. What do you understand about these people with just a word before they even hit the stage if you don't know
political
who they are?
Political con buddies.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so we... I believe we're described as lovers.
Exclamation point. Which is totally
Did anyone else get an exclamation point?
Well, they all did. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But we are married to other people.
I like the idea that we've come out tonight. That's right. Yeah. We're having an affair with each other. So we are
so we're not gonna give
lovers.
You the
Our spouses,
for
please
this.
Do not tell anyone about this. Yeah. It's like, an affair of comedy. This is what we do together. That's right. We've never actually kissed, but we're very deeply in love. Oh, I don't see that happening. But the important thing is that together, when you put the two of us together, amount of stand-up comedy we have banked as a couple, zero years of stand-up. I think we've been on stage together one other time.
Yeah, we did a TED Talk, fake TED Talk.
Real TED Talk.
Fake TED Talk.
But that couple of seconds of respect you felt for us for a second was like, oh, I'd like to, maybe I'll learn something today.
What did you think that we'd, what's the startup that we would be doing?
That's a good question.
What's the like Fourth Reich thing that we'd be like?
What potentially Mormon thing would we be talking about?
She was raised Mormon.
That's true.
Tucson. Is there a Mormon in the house?
That might be like a pity woo.
That might be. There's always one. There's always one. Tucson, Arizona, raised Mormon.
Yes.
Yeah?
Well, no.
No, you.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, like you thought I was thinking that you were talking about yourself and we're finding that out about each other after being together 4 years.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm from Tucson.
That's right.
I was raised Mormon.
You're Janet Varney.
This is kooky.
Yes.
Guys, this is kooky.
Yeah.
Listen, I got to say real quick, my dad is a full-on atheist. He was a single dad raising
me.
My
hates
mom had
God like
my
poison.
He does.
Like poison.
My mom had custody of me on Sundays, so I wasn't raised Mormon. All due respect.
Yeah. It's a lovely religion.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it's got its ups and downs.
So we're lovers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We're lovers. Yeah.
Lovers. That's so European.
It's that is a tough and
we should have come out in kimonos.
We should have.
A top knot.
We should have. I'm not great at just names for relationship status anyway.
You've been terrible at it.
I'm very bad at it.
Bad.
On my podcast, I didn't realize this, but I've now had enough people tease me about it that it's come back at me that apparently on the podcast I call him my sweetie. Yeah.
4 fucking years. Sweetie. It could fall apart at any time. This shit is tenuous.
It's
we're
true.
All right. We live
and
together.
And also, I think
we killed one dog together and adopted another one.
That's
the
true.
Dog
that
was
did
very sick.
That's true. It did happen very... I mean, yeah, it was. It
I'm
did happen.
Back
it did happen. We killed a dog. We did not discuss any of this. This is all a surprise to both
of
us.
Well, that's a relationship.
Her
ex-boyfriend was there when we put the dog down.
That's true. Yeah. That's friendship.
That was friendship.
Wait, are you okay with that? I should have asked you in advance. I know it was 6 months ago, but that was okay with you,
right? You know, because you can get somebody to come to the place and put the dog down.
That's true. He really is telling a story about euthanizing our dog.
She was an Australian lady, and she had a shirt with horses on it.
It's in process right now. She did have a shirt with horses on it.
She was very sweet.
He was 16 and a half.
This was New Year's Eve.
It was New Year's Eve.
She had no other plans other than to put dogs to sleep on New Year's Eve.
One of God's special angels.
She was a wonderful person.
She was very sweet.
Walk into a house. She's like...
I want to say she's Australian.
Like, lady, sweetie, ex-boyfriend.
And dog. Friend who dog sits for you.
Yeah, it was four of
and
us.
And knows so much about this process because she works for vets.
Right.
That she was asking a lot of technical questions.
Right.
The about
other friend,
the
she
process.
Neuters dogs.
Yeah. So there was a moment
it was a whole day.
I do feel bad for that woman because she came in and had no sense of what was happening, whose dog it was. There were four people there. There was one person who was inconsolable, me. And then there was another girl who was like, and so how long do you expect the, she just threw out a bunch of technical terms.
What's the
like,
gauge of that needle
IV,
now? Yeah. Is that going to go, is that going to go in the, which
what,
artery?
And
is
when
that
the, with the corpse, the what are you going to do when you, will you take away the, yeah.
She was doing impressions of the paw.
She was they
adorable.
Were taking impressions. He was a very, very, very special dog. And
16 and a half, big
he
dog.
He was 16 and a half. Yeah. And so,
looked like an anime dog. He had
he did look like an anime
crazy
dog.
Eyes,
I
like
cannot believe we're talking about this. I couldn't be more surprised.
We had other stuff we were going to
talk about. We're talking about this.
But dear, but this is all because you call me fucking sweetie.
I know. This
we're
going to
talk about the dead dog.
Such a specific revenge.
Yeah.
What a specific form of revenge.
Yeah.
So
we're not married.
But listen, if you need a recommendation, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, because you have an animal who's going to pass soon, or you
maybe
want
a cat.
It to, I don't
cats.
Know. That's a weird thing to yeah.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful lady who will come and make your holiday so special. It was New Year's Eve. Yeah. That was unplanned. Yeah. It became very clear very quickly that it needed to happen. Mm-hmm. But I will say, and this
happy
is not...
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, none of the... And happy belated New Year, honestly. There is something nice about a major event that is meaningful to you. If you, this is so not funny, but now I'm super. I'm a very sincere person, so now I'm just gonna be sincere because it's coming from the heart. If you have, how many of you have had to say goodbye to a beloved pet? All right, so like, but when it's
what
happening,
what the fuck is wrong with the rest of you? Get a dog.
Yeah, get a
dog.
An animal.
Humane Society.
Sure.
The one with fish.
Oh yeah, sure. I love that people in Los Angeles still describe their dogs as rescues, and I do too. Mm-hmm. But like, can we just all agree? We all know that they're all rescues.
Yeah.
But we're all like, he's a rescue.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's sanctimonious yeah. a little bit, like mm-hmm. as if there are a bunch of us who are like, well, I went to a puppy pound. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you?
They were cranking them out. Like, it was an yeah. assembly line.
I feel like we're very good at yeah. adopting rescued pets in yeah. Los Angeles in general. So I don't know if we. That's like we've evened the score on that. We can't mm-hmm. brag about that anymore.
No.
But so when something like that happens. In the moment that it's happening, don't you feel like, why has, like, my heart is broken in a different way than other people who lose pets? Because when it's not you, you feel for the person, but if it's been a while or if you've never
Guys,
said goodbye to one,
you
are, you are really, because again, we're the closers awesome. And we are not stand-ups. But there's a feeling of like you can sort of dismiss it when it's someone else's pet a little bit more than if it's a family member who's human. And then it happens to you and then you're like, this is different. No, this is different. Like he was family. And that really is how I felt. And then the good news is that if you have to do it on a major holiday, there is a sense that everyone is like celebrating. There's a, mm-hmm. it was a landmark occasion for not just us. So it wasn't like, oh, the world just keeps turning. Like, oh, it was a Tuesday. You know, we had to say goodbye to this wonderful creature and it was a Tuesday. It was New Year's Eve. And so
it felt like fireworks.
Yeah. It felt like everybody was sort of like, yes, yeah. we're turning over a new leaf. It's the beginning of something new. So it felt like somehow we had like managed to get the whole world on board for our dog's
That's
death,
right. That's
which
right.
was great.
Then we went to Griffith Observatory and everybody was just standing around.
We did. We went up to, we hiked up. We live very near
if
Griffith
you ever
Observatory.
Get high in the city and you look out, the yeah. whole city looks like a popcorn popper. It's just we were doing that
oh,
the other
yeah.
night
for,
on
oh,
the
for
4th
New Year's
of July.
Eve. Yeah, for 4th of July.
After the
Have you guys done the thing where you don't look at any one specific thing, but you're far enough away that it
bubbles,
just looks like for sure Baghdad?
Yeah.
Like it's
mm-hmm. yeah.
like you really realize
oh, yeah,
like, oh, we're awful. Like yeah. we are creating the site of a bombed city to celebrate the 4th of July. Like we're awful. Okay. It's cool. What haven't we covered? Euthanasia.
Yeah. So we got it, but we got a new
cities.
Dog. We got it. We did
we
get
do
a new
have
dog.
A new puppy.
We got a new puppy. We have a friend who. This is the thing you don't want if you're an animal lover. Is a friend who has a dog rescue
organization,
and she rescues little dogs from the valley.
She goes
mostly.
All over. She goes
yeah,
all over.
She does. And
shout out to Mayday Rescue.
Mayday Rescue.
Yeah.
And so she calls us on a very rainy Saturday and she's like
days after we got back from Sketchfest, which is a festival that I co-founded and
oh which is where we met
there, which is where we met because he was the editor of SF
Segway.
Weekly
yeah.
And we worked together
Journalism
doing like comedy issues for during Sketchfest mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I said please leave your entire life and come move down with mm-hmm. me in LA
and I said It'll journalism is a growth industry
that's right
and then it wasn't
that's right it's
and
alive
so
and well
I
it's
did
alive
that.
And well
yeah.
And so, yeah, so we had been mm-hmm. back mm-hmm. for a handful of days from this giant undertaking, and she said, I know that you have said goodbye
you
to Scott.
Lost a friend?
Can you please do me a huge favor? Because I just got a new foster that had never fostered a dog before and found a tick on this puppy and freaked out and said, like, take it away! Take it away!
She'd never had a dog before, and
she
didn't
before.
Know that dogs carry stuff around
yeah.
with them, and she
yeah.
was like, a tick, oh, fuck!
Yeah,
and so she
out.
Lost her mind.
So Natalie yeah. said, is it in any way possible for me to bring this puppy over to you guys? Because
she's
I know you,
out.
I know
she's
your dog.
Kick the tires.
I know you're safe.
Your little round tires.
Yeah, yeah. And I know it's going to rain all weekend, and this puppy isn't house trained, and I know it's going to shit all over your house and stuff. And we were like, yeah! And so we said yes, and we became like the million and oneth mm-hmm. sucker who was like, yeah, we'll watch him for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Cut to, he owns us.
Yeah.
He's the most important thing in the world.
It's like what are the two, and it's an engineering project. What are the two smartest dogs? Let's take a border collie and let's breed it with a Jack Russell. So it's like it never sleeps.
Yeah.
And it does long division on demand. And it just comes to
He's amazing.
Yeah.
But listen,
he's great.
If you go through something that is very sad and you are in the process of saying goodbye to a dog who is sort of, like you said to me, a clock running down, which was
I know, that's beautiful, isn't it?
Not funny, but it was something that where I had the benefit of getting used to the idea of saying goodbye to him. But there was a lot of like just heaviness in 2018 for us. And so now we have this ridiculous, adorable puppy, and I'm a total convert. In the same way that I was before I fell in love with you, where I was like, I would go to weddings and you know, like, oh, best of luck. But in the back of my mind, I thought, nobody stays married.
Plank.
I was like, oh, you think this is a good idea.
But you guys,
like in general.
Absolutely.
Look at me.
We're great.
And now,
lovers.
And
so
yeah.
I mean, you know,
and
we're
so
going to go
we
back
were,
to our people
yeah,
later. But,
we're super commitment phobes.
Yeah.
And then we met each other and we became immediately obnoxious. Like, like 24 hours. In 24 hours, I went from like, yeah, well, love doesn't last. We all know that. It's important to just like have a lot of alone time, et cetera, et cetera. And then the next day, I was like, it'll happen for you someday.
Maybe. I mean, if you
just,
run
when you know,
stop
it'll
asking,
for
and
you.
It's going to come to you.
And I know I've been on the other side. Yeah. Like, I became that person so fast.
Gross, yeah.
It's good that we don't have kids, because I would, all the things that
you're
I don't
never
like,
going to find what we have.
Right.
Never.
Maybe it'll happen.
But you'll
you
be
a
robot
bit.
Baby.
Yeah. And now I'm the person that encourages people to get puppies. Like, oh, if you've gone through a loss in your life, get a puppy. I know that sounds very shallow, but it just brings so much joy into your life. Right. Yeah. Except Craig and Carla take care of old dogs, which is also like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we'll end our set by giving it up to Craig and Carla Kakowski, everybody. Thank you.
Spay your dogs. Or neuter them.
Naomi, what have we learned throughout this entire episode?
Don't parkour off of someone's wheelchair. That's fact one. We learned very early on. Second,
everyone should use a washcloth.
Everyone should be exfoliating at all and during all showers and baths.
Yeah. Number three, Marvel should let me write Nightcrawler.
So those are your three big takeaways. Those are your three big takeaways.
I got a plan for Nightcrawler. It might step on some stuff that's going on right now with Hickman's stuff.
Hush.
But so we'll have to see if my plans. Look, Nightcrawler is a fun guy. He did lose his soul, Jason Aaron.
I'm just literally nodding.
Just
I'm
staring,
like, okay.
Staring daggers at me.
Not daggers, just like my eyes. I can feel my eyes are droopy and sleepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From me talking about my plans.
Yeah. I was like, okay, sure. You mean Alan Cumming's character?
Yeah.
It's like what I know about Nightcrawler.
That one of the things I think we bonded on early on was both liking X-Men 2.
X2, best in the game.
Come
best
on.
In the game.
Devise a better sequence than Nightcrawler bamfing around the White House.
I'll wait. Okay, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We'll be back next week. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
My name is Kimberly Drew. If I've learned anything in my years of studying and uplifting Black artists, it's that we all have the power to create something beautiful. That's why I'm pleased to introduce you to people who have broken down boundaries in fencing and helped to create the first ever smart store. They're a big deal, and it's time we give them our attention. Listen to Your Attention, Please, a Hulu podcast with iHeartRadio on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's inspired by Your Attention, Please, now streaming on Hulu. Watch for a fresh point of view on Black history.
Hi, guys. Katie Lowe's here, actress, mom, and host of the parenting podcast, Katie's Crib, a show that helps women navigate the colossal changes that come with motherhood. You'll hear from resilient mamas, knowledgeable experts, and me asking a whole lot of questions. It's real talk that offers real perspective on what it's really like to be a parent. So join me. New episodes publish every other Thursday. Listen to Katie's Crib on the iHeartRadio app or on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.